Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
The angel Gabriel from heaven came, his wings as drifted snow, his eyes as flame.
Joining us for the rest of the first hour, Deaconess Pam Nielsen. We're going to be talking about a visit to Mary and then Mary making a visit of her own. First, an angel comes to Mary, Gabriel himself, and then Mary very quickly goes on a visit of her own to Elizabeth, where she discovers that her cousin there is also pregnant, 6 months along with the forerunner of the child that she bears in her womb. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is senior editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House based in St. Louis. Their Sunday school curriculum is called Growing in Christ. Hi, Pam.
Hi, Todd. How are you today?
I'm very well.
Good.
This is, we're dealing with two incidents that really are tied together, not only chronologically, but they're tied together in their significance. The first one, the angel Gabriel coming to this young virgin Mary and speaking to her words of blessing and of promise. What is happening here that we cannot see, nonetheless, we know for sure is happening here for Mary?
Well, this is the moment that as this angel speaks to her, that in verse 31 of Luke chapter 1, "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." In fact, as that's being spoken, that is exactly what is happening. Mary is conceiving and bears in her womb from that point on the infant Jesus, who would grow and come to term and be born, the Son of God, now taking on human flesh within the womb of Mary, and then being born as a little boy, as a baby, and would then grow up to be the Savior who died on the cross for you and I. So this is a very significant moment. It's one that the church regards and recognizes and marks with a special day, and it is the moment, as the angel speaks this to her, as he visits her in her home.
There are things said of Mary, both by the angel here in this first account, and then by Elizabeth, and then even by Mary herself a little later in the account, that seem remarkable for anyone to say about any human being. She is called full of grace, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. She is acclaimed as blessed.
Favored one.
Yeah, all those kinds of things. Yeah. How do we explain these?
Well, you know, we could slide down dangerous hills in explaining this if we're not careful, because we have to understand, first of all, who's acting here, what's going on, and who's really causing things to happen, and who Mary is in all of this. She is a human being, a young woman, a person like you or I, who in her humanity, which is all that she is, like you or I, a sinner. And this is coming to her because of God's grace, because of his choosing, because of his doing. She's highly favored, not because of anything she's done. She's highly favored because God chose her to be the one who would bear his son into this world as an infant. She is highly favored because the Most High overshadows her, and she conceives and will have a baby. All of this is because of God's action, God's grace, God's doing in her life. Yes, for her salvation, but also for yours and mine and for the children we teach on Sunday. So the focus in all of this is to focus on God and what he's doing and how she is blessed because of that. Just as And we can talk about this later, or and we definitely have to talk about it in our lessons. We have been chosen and given great things because of God's grace and His mercy, not because of anything we have done, but we've been made His children in through the waters of holy baptism, granted faith. So there's a parallel there. We're righteous and wonderful in God's eyes, Mary too. None of us because of anything we've done or deserved or earned on our own.
So what is said of Mary here in particular in the event of the incarnation and then the days that follow can by extension be said because of the son she bears, the Savior that she's bearing in her womb, can be said by extension to be equally true of each and every one of us, favored, shown grace, and chosen of God.
Absolutely, because certainly we don't bear Jesus in our wombs in the same way that Mary did, but we have put on Christ in holy baptism. Christ has given us His robe of righteousness. Faith through the Holy Spirit, faith in Christ as our Savior has been created in us. We have become children of God. All of these things, by the power of God, through His Holy Spirit, because of God's grace and mercy, that's exactly right. And then when we kneel at the altar and we receive the body and blood of Jesus, this is the same flesh and blood that Mary held in her womb, that she carried as the mother of Jesus, as the mother of God, carried Him to term until He was born into this world and into this life.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen is our guest. When we come back, another 10 minutes with her on this Monday afternoon, November the 29th. We're talking about Mary visits Elizabeth. Before that, the angel visits her. We will turn to her visit with Elizabeth and the conversation that takes place not only between Mary and Elizabeth, but apparently there is some kind of interaction between the child that Mary bears in her womb and the child that Elizabeth bears in hers. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
Do you wish that your pastor would preach more often from the Old Testament? Is it possible to find Christ for sinners in the Old Testament? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November is titled, The Old Testament Collection, Preaching Christ in the Old Testament During the Church Year. This CD resource contains 61 sermon texts written by Dr. Ken Sherb. You can browse before you buy, issuesetc.org, or you can purchase the Old Testament Collection by calling 1-800-325-3040.
Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
Putting Christ back into Christian radio, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Hi, this is Kate in Japan, and I'm commenting on the program you had about the Unification Church.
Thanks to God's gift of the Internet, people are listening to Issues Etc. around the world.
The most important point is to say I love your show and thank you for doing what you do. Bye from Japan.
Old theology, new technology, Issues Etc. worldwide. Listen to what you want, when you want, wherever you are. Issues Etc. issuesetc.org.
Christian apologist Gretchen Passantino on the importance of Issues Etc.
This is the best that Christian radio gets. And I know that anyone who listens to this show will get sound biblical doctrine and, most importantly, a complete focus on the cross and on Christ. I've done so many radio shows over 35 years, literally thousands of them, and I know of no other program that puts the cross and the gospel right at the focus of everything.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, Issues Etc.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is our guest. We're talking about Mary visiting Elizabeth. The story does need a little explanation because there's a backstory on Elizabeth that's not included in the text that we're looking at here. What is that, Pam?
Well, we know that Elizabeth also was a barren woman. She was old, hadn't had any children, and she too received word that she would have a child. And her husband, Zachariah, who didn't believe, whose tongue was tied until the birth of that baby. And this took place 6 months before the angel Gabriel visited Mary. So they're cousins, and Elizabeth is pregnant. And this is miraculous, too, that Elizabeth is carrying this baby. And it's not just any baby. This would be John the Baptist, the final prophet, the final one to point everyone to the true Messiah, the last of the long line of prophets that we had in the Old Testament. He sort of bridges the gap for us and makes the connection in his ministry as a one who prepares the way for the Lord. So that's the backstory there. And in this little text that we have in Luke chapter 1, we have Mary going to visit Elizabeth and paying a visit to her cousin, taking a little trip. And it says that she went with haste to the hill country to their home of Zechariah, and she greets Elizabeth. And there's where another amazing thing happens in this story.
Now, you say that Elizabeth's lavish praise of Mary as she arrives can be understood by way of parallel with an Old Testament account, 2 Samuel 6, I believe, is what you reference, where the Ark of God is brought into the temple. I can't remember what the story exactly is.
Into the tabernacle.
Yes.
Well, the presence of God. When Mary walks in to the house of Zechariah and greets Elizabeth, in verse 41 it says, "When Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb." So John the Baptist is that baby. He leaps, and then it says, "And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaims, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb.'" Immediately, both the baby and his mother recognize they are in the presence of God. And this is by the power of the Holy Spirit. But Mary is carrying the Son of God in her womb. You still can't see him, but he's there in flesh and blood. This is the incarnate Christ, and that is no different than God's presence that went with the Old Testament peoples on their journeys, and it's no different than the presence of God that comes to us in his word and sacraments, and most specifically, I guess, in this context, would be through the Lord's Supper that we partake of the body and blood, the flesh and blood of Jesus, that same Jesus that caused John to leap and Elizabeth to proclaim, "Blessed are you among women," and the same Jesus that Mary, having him conceived in her, was moved to sing that wonderful song, the Magnificat, her song of praise, and that comes just after what we're talking about right now.
Well, talk about that song, which has been adopted by the church for regular use, at least in some of its occasional services. But talk about Mary's Magnificat.
Well, it's a beautiful, beautiful song. And, you know, we can connect this. We've heard this before. We hear it in Western Christianity. It's part of the Vespers liturgy. So if you go to the evening Vespers services in your church, then you've sung this, you've heard it. If you're an Eastern Christian, it's part of the Matins or the morning prayer service. But here we have, instead of Mary singing about how she feels and concentrating on her thankfulness to God, she simply just erupts with words that are exalting God himself. And she's rejoicing more in God even then in his good gifts of life and salvation. You know, she bursts out, "My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior." And then she confesses her humility by singing, "He has looked on the humble estate of his servant." You know, she's including herself in this humble estate. She sees herself as one of those. And she's part of the hungry that she sings about, and part of the community of his servant Israel. And it's a beautiful song where Mary really focuses on God and what he is doing and what he has done, and what that means for her and God's people.
So how should the church, since Mary is the subject here, and of course, as we walk through Advent toward Christmas, we will revisit these stories again in our churches in great detail. How should the church regard Mary rightly, given everything you've said so far?
Well, we, you know, she bore in her womb the Son of God. The scripture tells us here very clearly, blessed is she among women. We need to have respect and regard for her, just in the same way that we have respect, I think, for the vessels that hold the bread and wine, the body and blood of our Lord. We don't make light of those special dishes, the altar on which they rest, or even the altar cloth. These things are set apart for a holy purpose, and we regard them with reverence and respect for what they bear. And the same with Mary. She is, like you and I, a human being and full of original sin, full of sin, and in herself of no regard. But because God placed in her his Son, conceived in her the Savior of the world, and that she bore him, we honor her, we honor God for her and for what he did in her. And so we don't make light, but we don't worship either. It's a little bit of in between.
There's one other thing that we really ought to know about this, and this is not the central purpose of this text, but it certainly is a sound biblical teaching based upon the events of this narrative. And that is what is said of Elizabeth's unborn child, John, being filled with the Holy Spirit, recognizing the presence of Christ even in the womb of the Virgin Mary. What this says about unborn life and what the scriptures so clearly take for granted about the unborn. Your thoughts there with about a minute and a half.
This is a fabulous passage for talking about the reality that the infant in the womb is truly a person with a soul, not some blob of tissue, not some fetus, but a real person. John leaps in his mother's womb, and he's a baby, he's an infant, and even that Greek term that's used, brephos, speaks to that. It's just how it is in this text, in the Greek, baby, infant, that either before or after the birth, the same word is used, no distinction whether in or out of the womb. And the fact that this baby could know the presence of God and leap within his mother's womb, and that Christ, fully human here in the womb of his mother, is causing this. You know, there's something going on in the womb, and this is just a testimony to the significance of life in the womb, and that we should protect it at all costs, just as we would protect the life of any human being that we can look at in our lives today. It's a wonderful passage of that. And it really, in this story, both John and Jesus, as preborn infants, show us that life is sacred and worthy of anything and everything that we can do to treasure and protect it.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen is senior editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House based in St. Louis. Their Sunday school curriculum, Growing in Christ, is truly Christ-centered, cross-focused, walking through the church year and through all of Scripture. Find out more about Growing in Christ. Give Concordia Publishing House a call and ask for a free sample. 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen On Demand. Look for Growing in Christ. Pam, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you. Have a great week.
When we come back, it's Hour 2 of Issues Etc. on this Monday afternoon, November the 29th. We're going to be doing a little review of Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows. Dr. Richard Stuckwish has seen the film, and in the past we've had conversations about both the books and the films based upon them, the Harry Potter series. We've come to the end of the books and the end of the films, and it has been speculated, it has been prognosticated with some qualification by Dr. Richard Stuckwish, that Harry Potter would emerge as something of a Christ figure, perhaps unintended, but nonetheless a Christ figure in this long story told over many books. We'll see what he thinks now as the end of the books and the film have come. A review of Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows with Dr. Richard Stuckwish in Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. We'll also talk about the season of Advent.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.